Hey, are you ready to move your life? I mean, really move it? It's time to turn up the dial on your energy, your health, your sport performance, your happiness, and your relationships. If you want to live with more freedom, more adventure, more passion, more fun, and more success, if you're ready to get your brain in the game and achieve the most out of every area of your life, then it's time to move to live and live to move with your host, Jill Summers.
Hello, you made it. You're here. You're in the right place if you are ready to dial up your life. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching, and this podcast is designed to guide, coach, support, and challenge you to live your life out loud. I mean, way out loud. This is part three of the Rudy's Road to Kona series, where we are following Ruth Payne's journey on her way to competing in the Ironman World Championships in Kona, Hawaii on October 14th of this year, 2017. So we promise to bring you the real story and not just the fluff or the everything is great part of the journey, but the highs, the lows, the gratitudes, the challenges, the insights, along with a look at her physical and mental training techniques. So welcome back, Rudy. Really great to have you here with us.
Thanks. Great to be back.
It's been a couple of weeks since our last interview, and I know the listeners are really excited to hear where you are, what's going on with the injuries, how is the recovery process coming along?
Awesome. So last time we talked, I think I was in the midst of a week off.
You were.
Right.
You were enjoying, and you were actually doing better with the week off than you thought you were going to.
Yes. Yeah. It actually went really well.
Did you have a hard time getting back into it?
No. Okay. No. Good. I was going to clean the rugs. I don't know if you remember. Oh. I was going to clean the carpets the next day. We did not end up doing that. But it was a great week, and I was really excited to be back in.
Carpets need to be cleaned like in November,
right?
after October. No, right. They don't get cleaned during training.
So yeah, that was a great week, and it's been really good being back in.
Okay.
We have continued to just increase the intensity very methodically so that I'm just really paying attention to my body and really listening. And that process has been really good for me because I am learning and more about freedom and being free in my training. And I've felt a lot of angst around the injuries, and I continue to feel angst at times. And the process of taking a week off, of letting go of outcomes, and being present to the moment and what my body is capable of today. All I have is today. Who knows if I will be here on October 14th. And so to be present to the now, and letting go of any expectations that I have for myself, working on that process has been really, really helpful and freeing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I wish I had known you years and years ago when I was going through my, when I was going through my bad bout of injuries going into an Ironman, but I will tell you, every Ironman I've got into, I've been injured.
Right.
And so this is, and I know that I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a really tough process for a lot of people. So what, I mean, that all sounds, you know, I promised at the beginning of this podcast that we were going to not just talk about the fluff. So tell me more about how you're literally getting that accomplished, because that can be harder than the physical training for Ironman.
So the literally how I am...
How you're finding that peace and freedom, you said.
It's really hard work.
So even if you can't give us the whole big picture, give us some very specific practices.
Well, I'll tell you. I have a crystal, and this particular crystal is known as, it's called a self-healer. And what I know about the self-healer crystal is that it's been through it, so it might have nicks, it might have part of it that's been chopped off or whatever, but the crystal's able to regenerate and heal itself, okay? And so I have this crystal as a symbol for me because I believe in our ability to participate in our healing. We have lots of outside help from, I have an amazing physical therapist that I'm seeing, and I'm doing dry needling and those kinds of things. And I also, though, can participate in this process within by learning how to let go of angst. Because, you know, angst, anxiety, stress, all of that can block healing. And so my desire is to find freedom so that healing can happen, so that energy can flow and the blood can go where it needs to go to carry the healing that needs to happen, the nutrients to get to the hamstring is a really hard place to heal. And everyone says it takes a long time. And so I want to participate in that process. So very concretely, I have this crystal, and this crystal is a symbol for me. And I spend time with it, and I would love to say, okay, crystal, I'm gonna put you on my hamstring, and will you just heal it for me? But that's not what the point of the crystal is. The point of the crystal is to remind me that I can participate in this, but what I ask, so I can set an intention with this rock. And the intention that I've brought that's felt very natural and just kind of emerged from me was, help me to let go. Help me to be in this moment. I want this, 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 and this. And I'll write down everything I want. We talked about goals and reaching goals and all of those things. That is good, but I also feel drawn to letting go too. Mm-hmm. So yes, I want to be in the best possible shape I could be on October 14th, and I want to be a force to be reckoned with on that day. But what I want more is to learn how to live life fully, and to do that means learning how to let go, especially of things I don't really have control over. Mm-hmm. So I keep looking at this crystal and I spend time with it, and I'm reminded that if I can let go and be in this free space, okay, I can fly if I want to. I mean, just within myself, just in this space, I can take away the angst. And that's where the meditation comes in again. It's breathing in any of the angst and letting out freedom. Mm. Breathing in open space, opening my heart, opening my whole body to energy flow, and breathing out whatever will help that to continue to happen. And so the crystal is a reminder of that. And as we rejuvenate the crystal sometimes by imagining white light around it and through it. Mm. And I can rejuvenate myself by imagining being enveloped in white light and it coming through me and new life. And so that to me is my concrete way. I mean, the meditation is a big piece of it. It's the practice of coming back, coming back.
Oh. That's beautiful. And I love the way you talked about there being layers of help. So yes, I still have the help on the outside. Mm-hmm. I have my physical therapist, and I have dry needling, and I have probably have massage. And of course you're doing the right training modalities to help that hamstring recover and stay strong. And then there's this whole other layer. You know, there's a spiritual layer, there's a mental layer, there's an energetic layer. And those three that I just mentioned, tend to be layers that we don't discuss very much in mm-hmm. mainstream training. Mm-hmm. We just kind of go out there and mm-hmm. beat our asses silly until we can do no more. Mm-hmm. So, and that's one of the reasons why I had a great draw towards you to mm-hmm. do this podcast series, because I think mm-hmm. what you're discussing right here mm-hmm. is a missing piece mm-hmm. in our training. Mm-hmm. And if we could get more people to understand the mm-hmm. power of this, mm-hmm. that our training journey mm-hmm. would actually have a lot more mm-hmm. to give back to us. Because like you said, mm-hmm. I'm doing this because I want to become, you, these are my words, I'm paraphrasing, a better person. Like, mm-hmm. who am I becoming in this process, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And if mm-hmm. I can learn to let go, I mean, that is a huge piece for everybody, no matter what. You're a triathlete, you're mm-hmm. a mom, you're a dad, you're a parent, you're an employer, employee, whatever.
Mm-hmm. This is what I want. I mean, I love triathlon. I love swimming, biking, and running. And on Tuesday, I was able to bike as if I had zero injury. I was like, oh my God, this is an amazing experience. Maybe I'm back. And that was really exciting. But that's just a vehicle. Mm-hmm. This, thank God I get to do something I love, but it really is just a vehicle, because what I want even more is to be fully who I am.
Mm. Yeah.
And that comes through these experiences.
Right.
And so thank you, Hamstring, for teaching me. And I'm going to keep thanking you. Mm. So on that, I do want to share part of how I train.
Excellent. Yes.
So when I just said thank you for teaching me, I hit my hamstring because when I swim, in particularly, you know, we have to count all the time.
Like, I use marbles.
People ask me all the time, how do you do it, Rudy? Yes. You know, like, how do you count? And I started a long time ago. In the beginning, I'd have to look at my workout, count the laps ahead of time, and then I would decide who got what lap. Okay?
Who, what?
Exactly.
Who, what?
So,
is there a novel in here?
Yeah. So if I had 10 laps, if I just swim a 500 or something, then I would have 10 people. Okay.
Okay.
So really, I had seven. There are seven of us in my family. So it was really six. The seventh would be Linda, my partner, uh-huh. right? So all my brothers and sisters. And the three would be my mom, my dad, and my stepmother.
So you would dedicate a lap
to each person.
To each person. Okay.
And so it would fly that way.
Oh.
And that's how I was able to count. Well, that has progressed over the years. And almost everything now is in fives. And I don't spread it out as much. I used to spread it out a lot. Think about all kinds of people. It's a great way to keep connected with people that I care about. But it got too much to keep trying to think, well, who's next?
Right.
So now I actually have eight that I go to, and then two extra at the end if there's 10. So five are, whenever there's five, it's always this. And it is the Trinity.
Okay.
So it would be God, who could also be Father, who could also be Mother, who could also be Love. So any term I want to use for God. And then Jesus, or I love using brother, or sibling, mm-hmm. or best friend, who I feel says, I am always here with you, no matter what. And the third is the Holy Spirit, which I love to use advocate, the one who's always going to cheer for me. Mm. Always. I'm here, Rudy, I'm going to take care of you. So those are the three. And then four is my mom. And five is Kona.
Ah.
So those are my first five.
Okay.
And I did that all leading up to, it was in 2014 and 2015. Those were my fives. And then it was really powerful after my mom died. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm swimming. I'm like, oh, this one's for mom.
Mm.
And it was a very different kind of
mm-hmm.
But I decided she's sticking around, man.
Yeah, she's still there.
And she's really powerful.
Right.
Really powerful. And when I think of Kona, previously it was like, you know, I'm coming back. Because I've been there once. I was able to go for a half Ironman a few years ago. And so I'm coming back. And so it's those memories. Now it's, there's a spirit there. And I want to get to know your spirit.
Mm.
And so oftentimes I'm just grateful to Kona. Thank you. But that's how I count. And then six has become Linda.
Okay.
Always sending her energy. And receiving her energy.
Mm-hmm.
And seven is one of my new favorites.
Me? Yes, I made it. Okay, if it's not, we have to figure out a way to get me in there.
Got it. Point taken. So seven is, it represents my teachers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of my teachers, and there was someone in particular I thought of, and it was someone I was struggling with, because I have learned that whoever I'm struggling mm-hmm. with is my teacher.
Damn that. That rule. I know that one. I'm not always a fan of it.
Yeah. But it's true that has become my favorite because when I open up to the teacher, the struggle's a lot less angst-inducing.
Mm.
I feel a lot freer.
So I'm curious, while you're actually doing your training and you're working with these focuses,
yeah.
Do you notice a difference in your energy?
Yes. So I have in the past, like when I used to dedicate this lap to this person and that one to that, and I would think of someone who actually was really, it was not a life-giving relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know? Trying to be kind or trying to send love to that person, it didn't work.
Mm-mm.
Didn't work at all. And so I was like, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. And which is why I've kind of like made it into my teacher
mm-hmm.
because I can open up more.
I have a really great story to share with you exactly on those same lines. This was many, many years ago, and I was swimming, and something had happened over the weekend with a sister-in-law, well, an ex-sister-in-law, and she wasn't an ex at the time, but we had had sort of a challenging relationship, and I was being wrongly accused of something, and I just was reeling it over in my head, you know, mm-hmm. it was that broken tape over mm-hmm. and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was swimming along, you know, my swim started struggling, and my legs started drifting uh-huh. down to the bottom, uh-huh. and I was losing my hips, and mm-hmm. my arms were having to work extra hard, and I was near tears. I'm like, and I can't swim today either. You know, that's one of those. And then I realized, take a look at what's taking up all the space in your
yes,
head.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things we talk about, especially in the water, mm. is that water is such a conductor of energy, right?
Mm.
It's like 10 times more than air. I'm kind of making up that number. So any scientists listening out there, you can leave us a message and tell me what the real number is. But it's much more than air.
Mm.
And so any energy in the water actually is increased. And so if I'm in a negative mind frame in the water, mm-hmm. it's actually exacerbated.
Wow.
So it was in that moment that I had coached this to my athletes, but I really experienced it in my body during that time.
Wow.
And
wow.
It was an incredible lesson. So
yeah.
I guess that's why I'm curious, especially during your swimming.
Yes.
If you're really noticing that energy yeah. shift.
Yeah. So, and nowadays, Beck is amazing. My workouts are so, there's such variety in them. I don't have to count that much.
Okay.
Okay. So now, mostly I'm counting for my warm-up and for my cool-down.
Okay.
If I have a strong 200, then I'm counting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's all positive. I mean, all of those fives, those first five are all love in my life.
Nice.
And so there's no, and six, I mean, Linda, but that would be a 300.
Okay.
So for four is a 200. And so, So most of the time, if I'm counting beyond that, it's a warm up or a cool down, and I'm just kind of relaxing. But the other thing too is I will find myself, especially if it's a longer interval, I can get distracted. And especially if I've had a negative experience coming into the pool that day in my personal life, and I'll find myself like just swimming and like my mind is, and I don't really notice that I'm slower or faster or any of that. What I notice though is my mind is not where I want it to
be.
And when I notice that, then it's like, oh wait, you don't have to think about these things. You know, people say, I run to clear my mind, I run. And in my mind, when I hear that, I think that they're trying to work things out in their head when they're running. I'm trying to do the opposite. I'm trying to let go of what's in my head, and hope that it'll clear and focus on the task at hand.
And this reminds me so much. I think we've brought it up before, but I'm probably will bring it up again. Beyond this is the phrase that happiness is an inside job.
Right.
You know, so many of us focus on the external, what's going on out there in the world to bring us happiness, and it could be an amazing place out there. You could be on vacation and still having a really shitty ass day because your inside is in a shitty ass place. So, yes, I got a finger point. So,
With that being said, though, that's exactly what I experience each morning in my morning time in meditation. I am sitting in the kitty's room, in the chair. She's sitting next to me. The window right now, thank goodness, because it is summertime, is open. And believe it or not, sometimes it's really chilly in the morning here. But every morning, I sit there with my coffee, and then I write my journal. And pretty much the first thing I write about is how beautiful it is outside. Every morning. It doesn't matter.
Regardless of what's happening.
Yes. Yeah, it's raining. It's so beautiful this morning. We never, I believe it or not, for someone who's up every morning to see it, it's maybe rained once or twice in a couple of weeks in the morning. I almost always see the blue sky, cool clouds going across. Sometimes I get to see some colors depending on how the sun is coming up, and but that's just it. Like, I mean, I really can, like, what a gift to realize the beauty regardless of what I'm seeing.
Yes. And that comes from an inside place.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Would you say you've always been like that? No. How did you...
It's hard to say. I mean...
And, you know... Yeah. In reflection, in this moment, how do you think you got to that place? Because I know for myself and most of the people that I know, that isn't something that they've always done. They've sort of grown into that.
So I had two missing front teeth growing up. Okay, and so as a young adult, we did some. I got some braces and a bridge, and once I finally we took care of it, and I could smile without putting my hand over my mouth. Right. Suddenly, people were like, "You have a great smile." You know, maybe they said that to me before that, but I was so self-conscious that I didn't even feel, I didn't feel comfortable, right? So once we took care of my teeth and I felt free, right? I felt like a different person, okay? So now I'm smiling more and there's good energy coming my way too, like compliments, that made a difference, right? That helped me see myself a little differently. And then in college, when I got involved in the campus ministry and I started to learn like what I was taught there was that God is love. And I'm sure I learned that growing up, but I would have never said out loud, God is love. And like, God is God. God is in the sky somewhere. Oh, love, my friend. What do you mean?
Yeah.
When I started to experience that we are loved just for who we are.
With teeth and without.
With teeth and without. Yeah. Yeah. With a working hamstring or not.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. that I think was a beginning of a real shift of being able to start to see. And then things just are in your face sometimes. Right?
So, what does that mean?
Well, so I had this, I thought I was a good person. I was, you know, kind to people or whatever. But I had a friend who helped me see when I wasn't kind.
Mm.
And not, he didn't try. It wasn't like he's like, Rudy, like, what are you doing? What would happen is we were in college and we were on our way to class one day and I noticed someone up ahead and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't stand that guy. I don't and the friend that I was with, we got closer and he's like, oh, there, and I can't even remember the guy's name, right? Oh, there's John. I love John. He's just such a good guy. And I'm like, what? Who is this guy that you know?
Uh-huh.
It's definitely not the guy I know. But we stopped and chatted with him. And so I had a different, it was like, oh, someone else saw something good in this person that I was closed.
So you, in that moment, were you able to see?
Yeah.
This,
well, I love my friend.
Part of him.
Yeah. My friend, I have the utmost respect for.
Uh-huh.
He is such a great guy that if he saw something good in someone, I trusted him.
Right.
And so I automatically, a wall came down and I was able to open.
It's interesting. It reminds me a lot of this exercise that I do with my students at UWM, and it's wrapped around flipping what we're looking at.
Hmm.
Because everything has more than one side. You know, we say there's two sides to everything. Well, there's really more than two sides. And they can all be true. You could be looking out at the sky in the morning and see these clouds that are dark and it's kind of cool in the morning. And you could focus on, the clouds are dark and it's cool this morning and I'm going to have to put on some sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
You could also look at, wow, look at the different shading in those dark clouds and feel the cool breeze and go, oh, good, I get to put on my fleece this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same in people. There are sides to people that you may like more than others, and they can all be true, but this is what we know. We know that whichever one we focus on is the one that's going to take up the most space, or that's the one that's going to increase the most.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you focus on, and I do this, people who know me, you know I'm such a weather person. You know, I can look at the clouds and be like, oh my gosh, it's cloudy today. But when I stop and go, oh, it's really cool looking, it completely shifts my mm-hmm. inner world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then my happiness is starting to be able to come forth.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So the wind can do the same, right?
Yes.
Especially as people who like to ride.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Can you describe the expression that you just gave when I said?
Oh, I did an eye roll. I did a really big ass eye roll. I'd rather ride hills than wind.
Right? But we have no control over the wind.
Right.
And the wind is with us more often than it is not.
Three times to one.
Is it?
For sure. Well,
okay.
Because
well,
you have your two crosswinds and you have a headwind.
Right.
So,
So, I was riding yesterday, and we talked about this a couple of interviews ago about the wind and what kind of things can help us with the wind. And so, like a month or so ago, I was riding into the wind, and I noticed I wasn't really excited about riding into the wind. I didn't think it was going to be that way that day. I thought I would actually have it behind me at this point. And so anyway, but what I noticed is with the helmet, when you're going into the wind, everything's a lot louder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I, that became, the wind became for me a something to communicate with. And so so now the wind and I were communicating.
Huh.
And it was like the wind was talking to me. And I don't remember any particular conversation that day, but the fact was is we're in this, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're starting actually to build a relationship. Well, and we have been starting to build it. We've been building it over time because I know you're going to be with me in Kona.
Oh, yes.
And I can't be afraid of you.
Right.
I need to embrace you if I want to have a good time, mm-hmm. or else I'll just be angry the whole time, mm-hmm. and frustrated and don't go.
Yeah. Right.
And so yesterday I was riding and the wind was strong again. And but the cool thing about it was we did start to talk.
Mm.
And the wind was like, hey, listen, like, let's be friends. And it was like I could kind of release the angst I had with it. And I could enter into a deeper relationship with it and say, hey, you're coming to Kona with me, right?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
There's
a saying, which is pain is the difference between what is and what you want it to be. So I'll say it again. Pain is the difference between what is, so the reality, and what you want the reality to be. So when I go out, I want reality to be that I'm not going into the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the wind comes up, I'm all not happy.
Yeah.
I'm all pissed off.
Yeah.
But if I go, oh, it just is, mm-hmm. and I give into it,
mm-hmm.
then I make space on the inside to get back to my happy place rather than to my disappointed place or my mad place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where your focus goes.
Yes.
Your energy flows.
Yes. That's awesome. So I want to share with you a quote talking about focus from a woman named Lisa Bentley. Lisa, if, for those of you who might not know, was an 11-time Ironman champion. And she also was a top 10 finisher at World Champion in Kona 5 times. But she talks a little bit about focus. I want to read you this quote, and then I'm going to ask Rudy here what her thoughts are about it and how she uses focus in her own training. So here's Lisa Bentley's quote. Ironman is all about focus. We all get to the start well-trained. Successful athletes need to train themselves mentally to find their own emotional place to race from. For me, I need to feel happy to stay focused. Some people race well when gritting their teeth and getting angry at the world. For others, the dream of finishing is their means of staying motivated and focused. So with that being said, what would you say is a focus at this point that's helping you move forward to get to Kona?
So I was reminded as you read that, especially she said she likes to go to her
happy place.
Yeah.
She needs to train happy.
So that resonates with me. And so I had on my road ID, there's a spot at the bottom, you know, it has your name and emergency numbers and everything. And there's a spot where you can put a motivating quote or something if you want. And so I've always put smile and breathe because I remember during my first, I think it was my first half Ironman, I was like just gritting my teeth.
Uh-huh.
Right?
We know a lot of athletes that get through it and then from an angry place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute, that's taking energy. I don't want that to take my energy. I want my energy to go into my legs. And so I was like, oh, just smile and breathe and be present and in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like going to that place. And I've been reminded of that place just recently because this year I've been learning a lot about suffering and pain, okay? And trying to understand the difference between the two for myself. So for me, to be a champion, I have to learn how to suffer. Mm-hmm. I have to learn how to work hard the whole time, which is hard, which has an element of suffering.
Right.
Yeah. Pain is what I'm learning is when I'm hurting my body beyond the suffer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have to pay attention to, is my hamstring in pain or am I just suffering because I'm giving a hard effort?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been learning a lot about that this year, and where hopefully the pain will eventually be gone and all I'll have to do is suffer.
That really sounds messed up. The pain will be gone and I just get to suffer then. Fantastic. Bring it.
But the focus, so what is really, really neat and what I was able to experience recently for the first time in a while because we've dialed back the intensity so much is like, okay, I want you to give a stronger effort. And so now when I go to that, I'm reminded, like when I go to a stronger effort, the way I focus is I actually enjoy racing. I enjoy working hard, even if it means some suffering, okay? But it's really fun to work and to find this level that you can keep going. What's not fun is when you go past that level and you have to come back. What's really cool is finding that level and finding a way to stay there.
Yeah.
Right? That is fun. And that takes focus. And how do you focus? Uh-huh. That's just it. It's practice. I mean, what do I do? I'm looking at my legs right now because that's what I do. Sometimes I will look at them if I'm on the trainer, but I guess if I'm outside, I gotta be looking at the road, but I'm paying attention to them. Are you at that place? Yes. Great, awesome. You can stay here. You know you can. You've done it. So let's stay here. Are you at that place? No. Okay. Then that means you'd need to work a little bit harder. Now, if I start to feel pain, nope, sorry, you got to stay back here. Okay? Mm-hmm. But if there's no pain and all you're doing is suffering a little more, then let's go right there. Mm. Okay?
That's interesting because I would think that would take, like you said, the word practice.
Yes.
But practice with focus.
Yes.
Not just any practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my guess is time, certainly. You know, time to experience the difference between pain and suffering.
Yes.
And what that level is.
Yeah.
And my guess is that level changes. So as you get more and more trained, it's not like you can just look at your feedback,
the numbers.
Your outcome,
there's
the numbers.
No numbers. Yeah.
No, this is really perception. This is perceived exertion.
Yeah. Which was a really fun experience I had on Tuesday because I had a pretty hard workout, and it was really fun because the only thing I look at is the time, so I know how long my interval is and my cadence, that it is in the desired zone, that my legs are moving at the desired revolutions on the bike. That's all I'm looking at, so I don't have any idea what my heart rate is or my power output. All I know is how my legs feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Christmas every time you finish a workout, because you get to open it up then and download it and say, oh, what did the power say?
Uh-huh.
And it's really, it's Christmas because it's so exciting to see what I did, you know, and be like, oh, I got something.
Yeah. That must mean that you're showing some good numbers
afterward
that you're happy with. So
yeah.
It's working.
Yeah.
So you don't have to stare at your numbers the whole time to get the numbers you want.
No.
That's what I just heard you say.
Right.
Contrary to a lot of training, right?
Right.
That's not to say that training is wrong. This is just another avenue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that has been a constant in our interviews together is the opportunity to talk about your rose, your thorn, and your bud.
Mm-hmm.
So the rose, as a reminder, is what's something you're celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
The thorn is what's the challenge. Mm-hmm. And the bud is something that you're looking forward to. It's like in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In any order you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in the first podcast, when we talked about what am I celebrating, it's so funny because it's exactly what, in a different way, what I'm celebrating now, which is I talked to an old friend on her son's birthday a couple of days ago, and she hasn't been able to make it to a race yet, but she's been with me through the whole process. Actually, the Christmas card she sent, the address said to Linda and future Kona winner.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it's on our fridge.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, she's just a believer. Yeah, nice. She's just a great advocate. And married with a couple of kids and full-time job and is working it out. She is close to, pulling the plug and being able to come to Kona.
Okay.
And so that is just another, it's like my wedding, you know, it's yeah. that like to have such support and then to see who gets to interact with each other the whole time we're there, like in the fun that we're all going to have
yeah.
together, being together. So I celebrate that. I celebrate my physical therapist because I love what's happening. I can feel things changing and that that's good, and that's probably the bud too. Mm-hmm. I mean we're in this process of healing, so it is still
right.
Becoming
yeah
the healing that is happening with my foot is really, that is, because I've had this plantar fasciitis and that, I mean, it's hard to describe, but I'm able to do exercises with my foot that I couldn't do before. And so to see that happen and to be like, you are helping me.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great.
And I have spent time with my foot. This is just so cool to me. Like, I was like, in this free space, in this letting go, you don't have to heal in any particular time. I'm letting go of forcing my body to have to be where I want it to be in this moment. I'm just going to actually be with it in this moment. I had this time with my foot where I just spent time with it, and I loved it, you know, just loved on it. And then I started thinking, and I know it's both feet, but I'm paying attention to this right foot that's hurting. And I'm like, you have taken me so many places,
wow.
You know, thank you. And I just started this flood of memories. And I thought about being when I lived in Wyoming or lived in New Mexico, and the hikes that I've done, and it was just such a gift.
That's cool. Really appreciating and having gratitude.
It was so wonderful. And I look at my foot a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Now I need to give more time to my left.
That's awesome.
But,
so, you know, yeah. a really beautiful practice that makes me think of is just in a moment of quiet to just be able to sit there and give thanks to our body for all that they do for us, because we really just run them crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound like a jump or a tangent, and I apologize if it does, but I just got home from a long road trip. Mm. I drove basically 2 days, and yesterday was crazy long and longer than I wanted it to be, but I was really riding my car hard. I wanted to get home in the last 3 hours. It was pedal to the metal, and I was thinking, may there be no cops, because I don't want to get pulled over. But and I know that the car is an inanimate object, but I just kept saying thank you for getting me through. Thank you for getting me through. And if we could stop and do that for our bodies more, because the only thing we will ever only have one of
Yeah.
Our entire life.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to have more cars. I'm going to have more shoes. I'm going to have more than one house, more than one pet, you know. Mm. But the only thing I'm only going to have one of from birth to death is my body.
Mm-hmm.
And what a shame if I take it for granted, or when I take it. It's not if. I do. Of course I do. Mm-hmm. But when I take it for granted and to slow down and just go, oh, my gosh, if I treated you as well as I treated my car and you know, other things in my life, gosh, I should be doing even more than that. Having that much more gratitude for it and giving it thanks. Yeah, for all it does for me. So, yeah, that's a really, thank you for bringing that up.
But it was a super cool experience.
Especially for as athletes and Ironman athletes and any real endurance, I mean, long endurance athletes feel like they need to just run it into the ground. It's not necessarily the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So there's alternatives.
Yeah. And that, again, is what I like keep going back to that point, that celebration of this moment and letting go of, I mean, I have to keep going back to it because that's what keeps me in a better place too, is like just this moment, and that I don't have to force anything to happen in my body right now.
And I love that you said you have to keep practicing it, because it could sound like, oh, I did it once and now I've got it done.
Nope.
And it doesn't work that way.
Nope. I find resistance all the time within myself.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the challenge. Okay. That is the challenge, is the resistance that I really want to do X workout. I really want to be running this much. And sometimes I don't listen enough to what my body is asking. And so it's always a process.
Yeah. Lovely. Lovely. As we're starting to wrap things up, I'm curious if there is any new music that has been...
I was hoping you were going to
really
ask.
Really? Yes. I didn't even prep you for that.
I know. this, I almost sent this to you the other day.
See, we're in tune here. We got ESPN.
Because it cracks me up, because the music I listen to would not motivate anybody else.
Okay, well, we want the inside scoop.
So often, and it'll be a hard workout, and I'll listen to Neil Diamond Radio on iTunes. Okay, so that wasn't what I was going to send to you. What I was going to send to you was a Jack Johnson song. Okay, and I don't remember the name of it, but if you give me 2 seconds, I will find the name of it. But I listened to this song on repeat. Okay, during my hard workout the other day. Like, I'm such a freak. And it's a good groove tune.
Yeah.
But it's not something that's going to make you ride 250 watts.
Okay.
But I did. What You Thought You Need by Jack Johnson.
Okay. What do you like about it? Like, is it that you can listen to
it? Such a groove.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He goes.
Say, what's the name again?
What You Thought You Need.
Okay.
And it's two things. One, Jack Johnson makes me think of Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no idea. I didn't know anything about Jack Johnson. I just knew I liked his music.
Okay.
But like I said, we went to Kona in 2015. On the flight back in Honolulu, Jack Johnson got on the plane with us.
He was on the plane with you? Come on.
Yep. Not too far from where we were sitting either.
Wow.
So ever since we left, ever since that trip, I listen to his music and I just think about Hawaii.
And Jack, if you are listening, you need to go to Hawaii on October 14th and be there for Rudy.
Yeah, come on.
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be cool? That's so great. A friend of mine just saw him in concert in Colorado a couple of weeks ago, and she said, of course, it was just amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
All right. So we have a new song for our inquiring listeners. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, you bet. You bet.
And
thanks
providing
for
such great insight for us and getting us athletes to think differently and to think on multiple levels. It's not just a physical. It's also a mental, and it is an emotional. It's a spiritual journey, and it's an energetic journey. Mm-hmm. And these are all pieces that I think athletes are slowly learning on their own, but there isn't a lot of collective material that helps to steer us in that direction. So thank you for opening the door.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of this. So.
Thank you. So in closing today, athletes and all listeners alike, whether you feel like you're an athlete or not, I want you to think about one thing you can do to raise your game that isn't physical. It isn't physical. Maybe it's spiritual. And if you don't know what that means for you, because I think that can be a bit ambiguous, maybe you do a little research. What does it mean to raise my game in my spiritual life? Perhaps it's energetic. What is this whole energy thing and crystals and Reiki? We didn't mention Reiki, but Reiki is an energy form of healing. So stretch yourself a little bit to do one thing that raises your game that isn't necessarily on the physical realm. If you are listening to this from my website, please be sure to add your name to the notification list so we can let you know when the next podcast is ready for you. I just launched one a couple of days ago with blind vet Steve Baskis. He is an adventurer, and his plan is to summit on all 7 continents. He is,
awesome.
An inspiring
person.
It's really an incredible listen. And he has connected with Anne Ryan, who leads adventure trips. And they came together and are leading blind adventures for people. And so definitely worth a listen to if you want to increase your inspired sense on the inside. And if you're listening to this from iTunes, please go to my website when you can at Jill M. Summers, that's SOMMERS.com. Click on the podcast page where you can then easily add your name for continued notification. You know when all of these podcasts are being launched. You don't need to go and look for them. If you don't want to miss this ongoing series, follow Rudy this ongoing series following Rudy to the start of Kona. And of course, we're going to talk to her, I don't know about during the race. We'll certainly talk to her after the race to see how it all pulls together. So we're going to go out today listening to Jack Johnson, What You Thought You Need. Enjoy. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. So grateful for you to be here listening today. See you on the next podcast.
Everything you want, but I could give you what you thought you need. A map to keep underneath your seat, you'll read to me in time, I'll get you there. But fold it up so we don't find our way back soon, nobody knows we're here. We can park the van and walk to town. Find the cheapest bottle of wine that we could find. And talk about the road behind, how getting lost is not a waste of time. Le Bois de Meaux will take us home, in the moment we will sing as the forest sleeps. And it's all for the sake of arriving with you. Well, it's all for the sake of arriving. I will make the table into a bed. The candle is burning down, it's time to rest. I can't take back things already gone, but I could give you promises for keeps. And I would only take them back if they become your own and you give them to me. It's all for the sake of arriving with you. Well, it's all for the sake of arriving with you. We could make this into anything. We could make this into more than words we could speak. This could make us into anything. It could make us grow and become what we'll be. Just like it feels, just like it feels. How can we really know? It's just like it feels. Just like it feels, just like it feels. How does it feel? It's just like it feels, it's just like it feels.
Thanks for being with us today. We invite you to join us on our mission to move people forward and upward. Go to jillmsommers.com. That's jillmsommers.com for more information and to listen to other inspiring podcasts. And remember to do one thing today that moves your life forward, which impacts others around you to do the same.